The Money Show.
The Markets.
On to Chris Stewart. Chris Stewart is a portfolio manager at 91. That Naspers process story in words of single syllables or less and sentences no longer than three words. Explain, please, Chris Stewart.
Confusing, I think, is three syllables, Bruce, and certainly less than three words. But, yeah, we saw the announcement out this morning. I think the market maybe viewed it as positive, but a lot of, I think, the strength in the share price we saw in this morning, both Naspers and Prosus, was really a carryover from last night's relatively strong performance from Tencent. As the day transpired, the market unraveled the transaction a bit and figured at the margin maybe good for Prosus and possibly immediately less good for Naspers. And that's largely got to do with the fact that there may be some natural buying of Prosus as Prosus's free float increases. There may be some natural selling of Naspers as Naspers's free float decreases somewhat. And as a consequence of that, we saw ending the day Prosus performing reasonably well, Naspers performing somewhat less well. But I guess the hope is that in increasing the free float of Prosus, increasing its index weighting in Europe, increasing its tradability in Europe, hopefully Prosus's inherent discount at which it trades to its underlying stake in Tencent should narrow somewhat. And Naspers will remain a significant shareholder in Prosus. And as a consequence, theoretically, then Naspers shareholders should also benefit at least from the fact that the Prosus NAV discount narrows, albeit the discount at which the underlying Prosus share trades within Naspers may not narrow at all.
In simple terms, in order to buy the discount that exists in Tencent, for example, you're not going to have too many people taking their money, putting it in South Africa to buy Naspers, but you may very well find people willing to put their money into Amsterdam to buy Prosus. And that's why this very convoluted sort of structure is emerging.
You may do, although, you know, they haven't necessarily yet. The Prosus discount has remained stubbornly wide, albeit narrower than it has been historically. And, you know, does an increased tradability, increased index weighting, increased free float dramatically change the discount that the market has been prepared to pay for that asset, given the fact that some of the shareholding structures and voting shareholding structures that still remain in place will continue to remain in place in the future? That'll remain to be seen, I think, Bruce.
And then Transaction Capital, it's an SA Inc. favorite, and they just, you know, they're looking to buy more of We Buy Cars. We're going to talk to them in 10 minutes' time. But it's a great story, and they're performing really nicely.
Yeah, I mean, it's a favorite with good reason, Bruce. This is a business that has managed very well through the COVID crisis, and that since listing has got an exemplary track record in terms of delivery. They have again delivered good results for this period, now showing growth for the 6 months to March of this year versus the 6 months to March of 2020. In other words, if you like, a post-COVID six-month period versus a pre-COVID six-month period, still showing good growth on a year-on-year basis and showing exemplary growth from the We Buy Cars acquisition. They've acquired 49.9% of that business. They're keen to go to just below 75% as soon as possible. And within a very short space of time, that business has grown to be contributing almost 25% of the group's bottom line. Not to say the other two businesses, SA Taxi, the taxi finance business, as well as Transaction Capital Risk Services, the distressed debt acquisition and collections business, those businesses have both performed well in the current environment. The taxi business did suffer something of a non-performing loan issue last year, as one would expect any credit provider would have during that period. Collections now starting to improve quite materially. The non-performing loan ratio starting to come down, and the collections business has migrated well from a massive call center business to a work from home business. They're back in the market acquiring distressed debt books, and it looks as though the collections activity within that business is going well as well.
Okay, good. And then finally, how worried should we be about today's American inflation number? Is it just because inflation was incredibly low in April and May last year that today's number looks so big, hairy and scary? Or is this the beginning of what everybody's been waiting for, which is a higher trend in American inflation?
Well, it looks as though it's the beginning of a higher trend. Is it a transitory higher trend or a higher trend that's going to be sustained, I guess, is the question. It does look from the number. I've had a quick look at the numbers today. It does look as though it's fairly widespread. You know, inflation coming in month on month at 0.8% versus 0.2% expected, and year on year at 4.2 versus 3.6 expected. So it's a big inflation beat. U.S. market's not taking it particularly well. Most of the indices there, but down between 1% and 2%. U.S. bonds obviously selling off, so that U.S. 10-year up at 168 odd. So and the dollar strengthening. So all the characteristics you would expect from this inflation beat coming through in the market. As I say, it looks quite widespread. The question mark is how much of this is temporary supply constraints as a result of COVID resulting in bottlenecks, and as a consequence of that, price increases. Also, how much of it is in response to, I guess, temporary stimulatory measures as a result of some of the COVID relief programs that have come through supporting consumer demand in the short term. Both of these factors may normalize inflation, may then become the temporary aberration that I guess risk markets are hoping that it is. But time's going to tell on that one, Bruce.
Chris Stewart, he is a portfolio manager at 91.